Welcome again, everybody, to Biblical Resources for the sixth Sunday of Easter. Our Gospel is John 14, 15 to 21. It reads, Jesus said, If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. Initial observations. This mysteriously inviting passage is the fruit of prayer, contemplation, and discernment. As such, it eludes analysis. Rather, it invites a comparison with our own experience and stirs our own desire. What kind of writing have we here? Number one, this is identifiable as belonging to the genre of Last Will and Testament, Farewell Discourse. As often noted in the Old Testament and sometimes in the New Testament, the last speech of the main protagonist can be very important. A number of the typical themes can be found here. How will the followers manage after the Master has left? Will he be present in another way? How should the followers behave in a practical way? In some ways, the answer to all three problems is the same. The Spirit will keep the Spirit of Jesus alive, and they will know this by their love. Such love will keep them in communion with the Father and with Jesus himself. Number two. This particular realization of the theme belongs to the much longer final testament of John 14 to 17. These reflections, placed by the author on the lips of the risen Jesus, are the fruit of deep prayer and experience of the spiritual gifts. In the profound discernment of the author, the word of the Lord to this community is a recognition of feeling orphaned, an affirmation of the Holy Spirit, and an invitation to continue to love horizontally and vertically, so to speak. And the continued seeing of Jesus is a matter of faith seeing in this gospel. Number three, in terms of the place of this excerpt, the following plan of the second half of the Gospel may help. The second part of the Gospel is often given the title the Book of Glory, effectively chapters 13 to 20. And the first section of that, which is really chapters 13 to 17, they're often called the Last Discourse. And the following sections can be detected. Number one, making God known, the foot washing and the giving of the morsel, 13:1-38. The departure, 14:1-31. To abide, to love and to be hated, 15:1-16:3. The departure, 16:4-33. And finally, making God known, Jesus' final prayer, 17:1-26. The overall passage has a concentric feel to it, with themes repeated in different sections. the Old Testament background. Number one, the language of orphan is found widely in the Old Testament, with a particular awareness of the vulnerability of the orphan. An experience of vulnerability in the time after Jesus lies behind this text. Number two, there is a wisdom background to the reflection here, taking up the sapiential tone of the prologue of the Gospel. We read in Wisdom 6:17-18, "The beginning of wisdom is the most sincere desire for instruction, and the concern for instruction is love of her, and love of her is the keeping of her laws, and giving heed to her laws is assurance of immortality." New Testament foreground. As is the way of John's Gospel, key words here echo the use of key words elsewhere in the same Gospel text. In fact, the burden of the commentary below is made up of these cross-references, a kind of echo reading to hear the resonances. A bit of inspiration from St. Paul. We read in Romans 5:1-5, "Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast of our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us." Brief commentary. The commentary today is made up of other verses in the Gospel. So we read verse 15. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." In this Gospel, there is only one commandment, to love. As we read in 14:21, "They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." And in 14:23, Jesus answered him, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." And in John 15:21, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." And in the first letter of John, chapter 2, verse 5, we read, "But whoever obeys his word, truly in this person the love of God has reached perfection." And in 1 John 5:3, "For the love of God is this, that we obey his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." Verse 16, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever." The advocate in the Gospel is the Spirit. In the first letter of John, it is Jesus himself. Here are two references. In John 7:39 we read, "Now he said this about the Spirit, which believers in him were to receive, for as yet there was no Spirit, because Jesus was not yet glorified." And in the first letter of John, chapter 2, verse 1, we read, "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Verse 17, "This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you." The Spirit of truth means the Spirit of Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, who brings the life of the risen Lord into our hearts. We read in John 15:26, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf." And in John 16:13 we read, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but he will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. In the first letter of John, chapter 4, verse 6, we read, "We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us, and whoever is not from God does not listen to us. From this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." And in the first letter of John, chapter 5, verse 6, we read, "This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not with the water only, but with the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one that testifies, for the Spirit is the truth." Verse 18, "I will not leave you orphaned, I am coming to you." The pattern here is presence, absence, presence in a wholly new mode. We read in 14:3, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also." And in John 20:19 we read, "When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.'" And in John 20:26 we read, "A week later his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.'" And in John 7:33 we read, "Jesus then said, 'I will be with you a little while longer, and then I am going to him who sent me.'" Verse 19, "In a little while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live." The second part of this tremendous verse calls for deep faith. We read in John 6:57, "Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me." Verse 20, "On that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you." The mutual indwelling of the Father and the Son is extended to the believer. The day in this gospel would seem to be the now of salvation. We read in 16:23, "On that day you will ask nothing of me. Very truly I tell you, if you ask anything of the Father in my name, he will give it to you." And in John 16:26, "On that day you will ask in my name. I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf." Verse 21, "They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." This is very challenging for contemporary faith. The practice of love opens the believer to the love of God and the revelation of the Son. We read in John 14:23, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." In John 16:27, "For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God." And finally, in the marvellous chapter 17, we read in verse 23, "I in them and you in me, that they may be completely one, so the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." Pointers for prayer. Number one, the identity of Jesus is revealed as the Messiah and the Son of God, not with a display of human power, but as one who was prepared to suffer unto death to show us how our God loves us. How does the Passion story speak to you as a revelation of how God loves you? Number two, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and specifically the commandment to love one another. Compare 13:34. How have you experienced the love of God and the love of those around you? Number 3. Jesus is preparing his disciples for his imminent departure and for a future in which he will be with them in a different way. He would not leave them orphans, but send an advocate to be with them forever. How have you experienced the presence of God with you in your life? Number 4. Perhaps you have also experienced the challenge of preparing another person, a child or friend, for a time when you will no longer be physically together. Recall how you gave the message of your ongoing support. Number 5. How have you experienced the presence and support of a loved one, parent, spouse, friend, when circumstances have separated you from them? Number 6. The proof of the ongoing presence of Jesus with his disciples is that I live and you will live. Discipleship is about much more than rules and regulations. It is about being alive. How has discipleship helped you to be more fully alive? Prayer. Faithful God, who loves us in Christ Jesus, send your Spirit of truth to dwell within us, that we may always reject what is false, live by the commands of Christ, and be true to the love you have shown us. Grant this through Jesus Christ, the resurrection and the life, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. A brief thought for the day. In the movie Moulin Rouge, there is a jingle which recurs, "The greatest thing you'll ever learn is to love and be loved in return." And the following words attributed to Pedro Arrupe, S.J., may lift up and inspire. Nothing is more practical than finding God. That is, than falling in love in a quite absolute, final way. What you are in love with, what seizes your imagination, will affect everything. It will decide what will get you out of bed in the morning, what you will do with your evening, how you will spend your weekends, what you read, who you know, what breaks your heart, and what amazes you with love and gratitude. Fall in love, stay in love, and it will decide everything. Prayer. Jesus, you love the human race. Let your love of us strike so deep a chord within us that our lives may resound to the music of that grace, drawing others to the leap of faith and the dance of joy. Amen. Thanks very much, everybody.